Budweiser's weekday sports beat on Mischietta Sports Leader 96.1 WSBT. Along with Sean Stiers, I'm Darren Pritchett. The Fighting Irish hockey team getting set to head to the East Coast. Bridgeport is the site of the NCAA Tournament East Regional. The Fighting Irish are the number one seed in that regional. Providence 2, Clarkson 3, and Notre Dame's regional semifinal opponent, Michigan Tech, number 4, the champions of the WCHA. They shut out Northern Michigan on the road 2-0 to claim the automatic berth into the NCAA tournament. And the Fighting Irish head into the field of 16 as Big Ten regular season champions and Big Ten tournament champions. And the architect of the Irish hockey team, Jeff Jackson, joins us here on WSBT Radio. He led Lake Superior State to 2 national championships back in the early 90s, so he knows what it's like to go down this path. Coach, it's Darren. First off, congratulations on a terrific regular season. Your guys had one heck of a run so far this year.
Yeah, it's been a good group, and it's been a lot of fun. It certainly has flown by, so that's usually a sign that things are going on a positive note.
Without a doubt. Coach, I want to start with this. People that follow the Irish hockey team know last year they were the number 4 seed. They went up to Manchester, beat Minnesota, beat Lowell to get to the Frozen Four. This year, different situation as the number 1 seed. Do you coach this any differently, psychologically, being the number 1 seed compared to being a number 4 seed last year?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is, for me, the only thing that I needed to do is remind our guys that last year we were the number 4 seed and we knocked off the number 1 seed. And I think that, with college hockey so close that there's not a whole lot of difference between 1 and 16. In many cases, probably 1 and 30. The teams are all close for different reasons. Like the team we're playing this weekend, Michigan Tech, they're an experienced team. They've got an older team. And that's, that balances things out. I mean, they've got some guys that have played there 2, 3, 4 years and they played in the tournament last year under Mel Pearson, and Joe Sean's done a great job there this year, just trying to, even make them better. And they probably would have finished higher in the WCHA had they not had so many injuries in the early stages of the season. But they got hot here at the end, and they've gotten, really good goaltending over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and that certainly made them that much better. So we have to understand that a 4 seed and a 1 seed, there's the only difference is you get a nicer locker room.
That's true. Coach, along those lines, you have so many guys back from last year's team. So how does the feel of this year's team, how does it compare to last year's team, and how much difference do you hope maybe that experience makes going into this tournament?
Well, you hope that that our guys, the veteran players, step forward and make sure that some of the younger guys understand the distractions that happen during the NCAA tournaments between the travel and people asking for tickets and family and everything else that goes along with being in that environment. And then it gets magnified with media coverage and, so many people are running around the rink, representing the NCAA. And like I said, media is always a factor. So, last year I thought it became a distraction for us, both in the Hockey East Finals and also in the Frozen Four. So, this year you hope that the guys have been through that, so they have a better understanding what they're up against as far as distractions. And, you hope that they grow from it. This group, this year has been pretty resilient. I mean, they've played in some really tough venues, big crowds, and they've handled it really well. I mean, the only exception might be the game up at the United Center, but that was the end of our streak, and it was like a big gasp of air being let out of a balloon. So I think the most important thing is that our guys understand that, this is a work business trip, and we have to be prepared to be focused for, the next 48 hours after we get there.
Irish hockey coach Jeff Jackson, our guest here on WSBT, talking about the Irish in the NCAA tournament. And coach, just from my novice hockey knowledge, you look at a lot of teams and you can always pinpoint who their number one defensive pairing is. They're going to get a lot of playing time against, for example, the Evans line or the Ogilvy line. When I watch Notre Dame play and the way Paul Pooley handles the defenseman, I have a feel who the top pair is, but Coach, I almost feel like with the experience and the depth of your defense corps, you may have a number one, but I almost feel like it's almost 1B and 1C. Is this as good of a group of defensemen depth-wise and execution-wise that maybe you've had at the University of Notre Dame?
Well, it certainly rivals the group back with probably Ian Cole and Joe Lab and Teddy Ruth, mm-hmm. that group. We had Kyle Lawson was back in that group. It wasn't Flavin, but, we had a really good group back then as well, the first Frozen Four that we went to. But this group is probably a little bit more deep as far as what they bring to the table, as far as offensive defensemen, defensive defensemen, the versatility of the guys that we have back there, the fact that we have seven of them that all play and contribute in different ways. I think maybe in that way, it may be the deepest in their roles, more so than the depth of our defense. It may be the depth of our roles, where we have some really good offensive guys, some really good defensive guys, and we have some guys that are two-way guys. And it's a good balance of types of defensemen, which allows us to, to utilize it in different ways. We always try to pick spots to get our best offensive defensemen out with some of our offensive forwards. And, defensive defensemen, sometimes if you're playing head-to-head against an opponent, you have to have them out there defending against one of your top lines, but we also have the guys that are more versatile that they can jump into the play and be effective offensively as well. So it's a nice thing to have. We better probably not get too used to it because next year we'll probably be a lot younger back there. So take advantage of it while we have it.
Jeff, Cale Morris has obviously been such a big part of what your team has done this year. What were your realistic expectations for him coming into the year after losing a goalie as good as Cal Peterson after last year?
Well, I'm sure that there was some question marks. I mean, Cale hadn't played in a year. I was more concerned about that than, we recruited him. We knew he was he's a full scholarship goaltender. You expect him to be a guy that can step in and play. And when we brought him in, he was brought in with the idea that, that he's going to be a starting goaltender at some point. And I thought that, we brought in Dylan St. Cyr because you have to have a little depth back there. And frankly, I thought that Cale and Dylan would battle it out probably a little longer than they did. But Cale stepped forward, and the credit goes to him specifically for how much he improved over the last year and having not played and, having such a great attitude during that time frame that, he once he got past that first month, he became a difference maker like Peterson was. So it was awful hard to take him out during that stretch that we were winning. And then it got to the point where every game had so much meaning at the end of the year that we kept playing him, and he's a good athlete like Cal was. And, he could certainly handle the minutes. So it was not a hard decision to just keep him in there. And, he earned the opportunity. He sat behind Cal all last year, so he earned the opportunity to have that same, chance to play regular.
Coach Jackson, looking back at the win over Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament title game, the opening 20 minutes was a terrific 20 minutes for your hockey team, building a 2-0 lead. Ohio State eventually tied the game with a goal early in the third period. And I know you've talked a lot about, and you hear hockey analysts talk about this, a two-goal lead is one of the more dangerous leads you can have in hockey, and Ohio State battled back from down 2-0. Is the second period and the early in the third period Saturday, can that be a learning experience for your team? And I don't know if you agree with this, but it almost felt like they got too conservative for a while protecting that lead. Am I right with that assessment, and how can they learn from that? Hopefully they'll have some two-goal leads over the next few games in the NCAA tournament.
Well, I've hoped for years that kids knew how to play with a two-goal lead. Even in the National Hockey League, you watch two-goal leads disappear quite regularly. So, it's almost human nature that you hate, you remind them, you hate to nag them about it, but you come out with such great intensity. I mean, that was probably our best first period of the season. And, we come out, we think, hey, maybe this isn't going to be quite as hard, and the opposing team is all, you know, that much more motivated to come out and get the next goal. And then all of a sudden momentum becomes an issue, and it's hard to, you know, when that happens, it's hard to get the momentum back. I mean, you're already in a little bit of a hole emotionally, and then you go out there and they score, and then all of a sudden you feel pressure. So all of a sudden, you know, your mindset gets more defensive and maybe a little bit more risky at times. So, you know, trying to get that next goal again. But, you know, hopefully we learn from it. We've had that happen a few times. It happened at Penn State. It's just something that you have to make sure that you don't lose that intensity that you start the game with. And it's a hard thing to replicate having 24 hours, basically, to get yourself ready to play a game. And then you go in the locker room, and that all that mindset has changed because you got the two-goal lead. And it's hard to get that back. As coaches, you know, you can jump and yell, and you can do just about anything, and sometimes it doesn't matter. I mean, how many times did we watch the Irish basketball team this year be down by double digits and make a great run in the second half? It's the same thing, you know. I mean, we look at it differently being Notre Dame fans, but I'm sure that the coaches from some of the teams that played Notre Dame, especially the one big game at the end of the year when they made that big run at the second half, you know, it's human nature, and especially with younger people, it's not hard for them to get comfortable. And as coaches, you can warn them, you can tell them, and, you know, like I said, you can do just about anything. And in a lot of cases, it has no value. I mean, it's just you have to go through it and hope that you can get the momentum back.
How important was it to win that Big Ten tournament after you win the regular season? How important was it to kind of finish off with that and win the tournament as well?
I think it was really important for us to play well in the playoffs because we had struggled a little bit down the stretch. And I think for us to have the game against Penn State and the game against Ohio State, obviously, they're both overtime games that could go either way. But the fact that they went in our favor gives us a little bit more swagger, a little bit more confidence going into the NCAA tournament as compared to maybe how we finished the season. So the bye week might have helped us more mentally than anything. And, you know, we got off to a good start against Penn State, and we got off to a good start against Ohio State, and we found a way to win both games. And that's kind of been the MO of this team all season long, is we find ways to win games that maybe some nights we don't deserve to. Other nights we win games maybe we deserve to, but, you know, we have to score a goal in overtime to win it. So, you know, it's been like this, you know, for the majority of the season. So those two games were not unusual for our team.
Coach Jackson, my final question for you. I was thinking about this earlier this week. In a calendar year in South Bend, hockey fans here will have witnessed a Big Ten regular season championship win on home ice, a Big Ten tournament championship win on home ice, this team going back to the NCAA tournament as a number one seed. Also coming up in a few months, the Winter Classic is going to be at Notre Dame Stadium, the Bruins and the Blackhawks, and you've referenced there's a very good chance there's going to be a Notre Dame outdoor game at Notre Dame Stadium. I just bring this up because diehard hockey fans 25 years ago, I don't think they could have imagined something like this happening. And obviously with you joining this program, taking it to new heights, you deserve all the credit for all this happening. Just your reflections on hockey fans, how it's really grown in this area because of Notre Dame hockey becoming an elite program and the Blackhawks getting good at the same time has obviously helped as well. But I almost feel like this is kind of the icing on the cake. This has been building for years, and the next 8 to 10 months is going to be really exciting for hockey fans in our area.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun ride for me as far as watching everything happen as it's happened. I mean, you know, when we first started over at the Joyce Center, clawing our way our second year, you know, having over a 31 year and getting to the NCAA tournament for the second time in program history, getting to the Frozen Four a year later, you know, I think that the building of the Compton Family Ice Arena was a huge part of our growth as a program. You know, we had some good success in the CCHA with regular season and playoff championships, and you know, when we built the building, it was, you know, it was about every aspect of our program. It was about the recruiting. It was about the respect level of our program. It was about our fans, and certainly it was about our players, you know, and their physical development with the facilities that we have. So, you know, everything's been put in place and put in place for us to have. And frankly, you know, for me, I think that the biggest thing that has allowed us to take, you know, we've taken two or three steps since I've been here as a program, and the arena was one of the more recent ones. I think moving to the Big Ten will end up being one as well, just because we will end up having more exposure. We're going to have bigger crowds because people recognize the programs. We're going to certainly have a lot more television time and things like outdoor games and, you know, getting exposure in different ways, being in the icebreaker again next year. You know, all those things, build brand recognition to recruits and to our fans. And, you know, we've had a really loyal fan base, and I think it's grown. The students are starting to get into hockey, and the band is obviously a big factor. But, you know, the building's incredible. And, you know, the thing I'm most proud of is the fact that we have such a tremendous staff. You know, and I think that that's one of the reasons our players buy into what we're doing, because we have such a great staff. Everybody's on the same page, and everybody's fully invested in what they do. You know, from our administrative assistant, Sue Hallis, to our strength coach, Tony Rolinski. You know, I think of, you know, all the people that work, Kevin Ricks, our trainer, even our team doctors. They're all invested in this program, you know, and they do everything in their power to make sure that the players, you know, are given the best opportunity to be successful. And the university supports us to where that's a possibility, you know, trying to avoid entitlement setting into the program, mm-hmm. because they do get treated so well. But they're generally good kids, and they do some really significant things in the community and, you know, in service opportunities. So, you know, Andy Slagert does a great job, and Paul Pooley, you know, in building our program every day, you know, from recruiting to on the ice, the relationship with the players, and we have a great hockey ops guy in Nick Sergey. So, you know, everybody's invested. Everybody's trying to do what's in the best interest of our players, and, you know, and that's allowed us to have these kind of opportunities and this kind of success. So, I'm kind of the tour guide of the whole process, and everybody else is just driving the bus.
Well, You set the tone for this whole program. I would yell at you and give you more credit, but you got to get ready for this game against Michigan Tech on Friday. And as the number one seed, we do get the better locker rooms. And my only job, other than broadcasting the game, will make sure in the coach's office at the arena, they get rid of the champagne and bring plenty of Diet Cokes. Once I take care of that, I think we're good to go.
We'll be fine.
All right. Hey, Coach, thanks for doing this, and looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. And hopefully it's going to be a very fun weekend up in Bridgeport.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Thanks, Darren.
Thanks, Coach. Greatly appreciate it. Irish head coach Jeff Jackson leading the Fighting Irish back to the NCAA tournament. They will attempt to go to the Frozen Four for the fourth time in 11 years.